The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Are you one of those people who thrive on the next adrenaline rush? Do you love to stay busy, have to always have something to do, are addicted to Starbucks coffee, and can't seem to slow down and relax any? If this is you, then you may be suffering from adrenal fatigue and are mistaking the energy you get from the excitement for the real energy your body is capable of having. This podcast, The Misdiagnosed Life, is about how we can all live our best life and do so with grace and ease. And one of the ways to do this is to learn to slow down and smell the roses, as they say. Something happens to us when we burn the candle at both ends. We wear down our stress response organ called the adrenal glands, and this can cause a lot of fatigue, among other things. Fatigue that doesn't go away even with a good night's sleep and can interfere with our sleep. Stress prompts our adrenal glands to produce hormones called cortisol and adrenaline. When they are stressed too much, they become dysregulated, and this affects our response to stress and the adrenal's ability to produce and regulate other hormones. This can cause a whole host of symptoms and problems that can greatly interfere with our life. Even though the show today we're going to focus not so much on the physical aspects of our life, living in the fast lane, but on the mental and emotional aspects of it. We need to understand that the physical implications of living from one stressful event to the next can adversely affect our health and our life. We're going to discuss some things today about how we can implement certain techniques in our lives to help us slow down and to enjoy life more and thus have better health as a result. In an article by Jenna Smith titled, From Adrenaline to Inspiration, The Burnout Solution, she says, most people mistake excitement for energy. Energy is energy. Excitement is a heightened state which can burn out your natural reserves. I have Jenna with me here today, and this is what we're going to be talking about, the burnout solution, as she calls it. Jenna Smith is an ontological coach and shamanic intuitive. Jenna has had great success working with clients in all areas of their lives, including relationships, career, confidence, health, and life purpose. She guides her clients through the complicated areas of life and helps make them simple. Now, as always, this show is for informational purposes only. Always consult a healthcare practitioner with any health concerns you may have. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Beverly.
I wanted to ask you today, based on the quote I just read, you're saying this is one reason or the main reason that so many people are suffering from adrenal fatigue and that we have so much fatigue in the world. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. Well, to talk about the addiction to excitement so that your listeners can understand where we're coming from, get on the same page, is that heightened busy, buzzy, like energy. And most people, as that quote did say, mistake that for energy, like their actual natural energy. And this is just more of a societal problem because that's just what people know. A lot of people haven't figured out they're either relaxed and are like totally burnt out on the couch or they're on. And there's a space in between where your heightened productivity actually is, where your brain is working, your blood is flowing, your creative capacity is alive. And that's what we're talking about today. So the addiction to excitement is the inability to sit still. There's the kind of a, well, what I say sometimes is people have many tabs open in their mind. One thing and then I go, blah, blah, and oh, and then, and that kind of, those are indicators that you're on overdrive.
Now, why do you think we're like that? Is this more of a habit? I mean, do we just get into the treadmill race type of a mindset and it's just hard to slow down? Or are we trying to avoid maybe some pain in our lives? Or we're just, you know, because if we get quiet, we may start thinking and that may, you know, cause some bad emotions to come up. Or what's really driving this? Or are we really just that busy? And why would we want to stay that busy? What's underneath driving all this, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's both. I have a private practice and I also work with groups. And so I see some people are really up to stuff. They're really up to stuff. They're legitimately busy, but they can still do some connection and slow themselves down in order to speed up. So busyness is a good excuse. There's a lot of corporate culture. So the go, 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 you know, things have shifted in so many years where people are doing the tasks of three or four people. So there's been this movement where people are more harried and they are thinking that they have to race to catch up. So that is happening in our society. In order for us to kind of take control, learning how to be more, learning how to stop for a second, even if you're busy, is the solution, because there are some legitimate things when you got to bring your kids to soccer and then you got to do this and then you got to do that. But it doesn't mean you have to burn out. It doesn't mean you have to run yourself ragged. So there's two things. And then there is sort of the adrenaline junkies that can't stand silence because they don't know how to be with themselves. They don't know how to be with discomfort or feelings, because we also haven't been taught how to actually navigate that, how to actually feel a feeling through to completion.
So they're just trying not to feel.
Yes,
is there some underlying fear there, or just a bad experience, or it's just a number of different things?
You know what? My honest answer is that it's a lack of education. A lack of education on how to feel feelings to completion, because what ends up happening is, because of that, you know, your parents and generations prior to now didn't have the luxury of, you know, doing a silent retreat. And, you know, like this is something that we have the luxury of suffering to a certain degree, or being overly busy, because we can choose more things now. So our generations before didn't really have time to do the self-development that we have access to these days. So there isn't the understanding of how to actually feel feelings. Like, this is new territory for most people to actually focus on, like, your purpose, you know, because our ancestors or generations before have created a life where we can have, you know, plumbing and this and that and all this together, that we can actually think about these things, feelings, our soul, enjoying our life fully. Like, what career do I want to do? Not what's going to make money for my family kind of thing. We're having a different focus as a society.
Yeah. Well, give us an example, just a quick example of how someone would actually feel their feelings through to completion.
Great question. And this is the first thing to know about this, is that most people, because they don't know what I'm about to say, just shove everything into this place inside of them. And they kind of lock it down and then keep it there, so that when they do access their feelings, it's an overwhelming experience, because they're accessing years and years and layers, because that's all they knew. Okay. So once you start processing feelings, they are processed. It isn't this big conglomeration of everything. There's the present moment and you can process it. So there is a clearing phase that people will go through once they start to access their body and their heart center, and they actually start to feel these things to completion. It really does start with the basics. What most people know is that you would kind of land into your body. So it would look like taking a second. It kind of helps to put your hand on your chest area to just bring some presence to what you're doing. And then if you breathe consciously, meaning bringing your attention to your breath, your body knows how to breathe for you. You can start to notice that your attention will drop into your body, and that might take a few breaths, but it's a very visceral feeling. It isn't just a concept in your head. It's a feeling of, oh, okay, here I'm in my body. And it might be that there's a tightness in your chest, or there's a tightness in your shoulders, and so you take more breaths. So it might be, oh, okay, there's tightness in my shoulders. And instead of thinking about them or analyzing them, you're just like, oh, okay, there's some tightness there, and you breathe. And you're not trying to fix or fight anything here. We're not trying to analyze anything here. We're just getting into the body.
Okay.
And when you start to do that, you've now connected to your body. And the one thing to know here is you process emotions through your body not through thinking. And so why most people think that they've processed something is because they've thought about it, but they haven't actually felt it through.
Yeah, and most people don't realize that.
That's what I'm saying. So it isn't like anyone's fault. Like, I mean, my personal story, I was just like, none of this makes sense. Like, life didn't make sense. It's like, what, you know, what, like, how can you have these feelings, but no one talks about them? And then you're just supposed to shove it down. And, you know, this is what drove me to discover what I've discovered, that you can just feel your feelings. And then once you've processed them, once they've processed you, basically, once you've allowed and breathed and you let the sensations move through your body, they're done. You know, like once you really get good at this, you can process things in like less than 5 minutes sometimes. So it's kind of a big concept to understand in a few minutes, but to take some time to breathe, to get it, like, as I said, like feel your legs, like feel your feet. Like, can you even feel your feet? You know, we're such a mind dominant do kind of people that actually feeling and being in your body isn't even encouraged, right? Because you just got to go and get stuff done.
Right. We don't have time to feel.
Yeah. If we let other people dictate what we want our life to be like, that's what's going to happen. But if we start to just go, wait a second, like, what do I want my life to look like? You know, do I want to be like running around all the time and never really experiencing, you know, when you even hug your child or when you even, you know, do anything, you know, that presence that people talk about. If you want to just kind of reel it back in and go, wait a second, how do I want to be? That's the start. I mean, that would be the start.
Yeah. So you basically help people. Well, one thing you do is you help them learn how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And that it's okay. You know, like it's not so scary and it's not so complicated. How to make it easy.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. Well, we're coming up on a break now. We want to take a quick break and we'll be right back and continue talking about this very interesting topic. Okay, we're back and I'm talking to Jenna Smith. Talking to her, she's has written several articles and has written for some other people in some of their books. She helps people. One of the main things she does is to help people learn how to feel. Now, that may seem a little odd to most people because we don't often think about that, but we're so busy that oftentimes we don't stop to really feel our feelings and let them process. Now, Jenna, tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to this field of transformation.
Sure, Beverly, good question. So, as I said before, I as a young kid was also, I was an empath, okay? So what that means is I can kind of pick up on people's feelings.
Right.
Which, you know, makes people a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. So in other words, if I walked into your room and I was really stressed, you would pick up on that I was really stressed.
Yeah. Okay. And an actual feeling in my own body.
Yeah. Or if I'm sad or...
Yeah.
Happy, you pick up on all that. And I will say this, that there are a lot of children, 20s and 30s, of course, adults too, but this is one trait I'm seeing in a lot of these, especially sensitive people have. We all have this ability, but some are more sensitive than others. And especially if you have a sick child, that's one reason you need to try to be positive and upbeat and not be stressed around them, because it stresses them out more. And when people are empaths, especially children, they don't know how to separate their feelings from other people's feelings. And so if you're stressed, they start feeling stressed and they think it's their stress. And so that can really get confusing to them and make situations more complicated. But go ahead and continue with your thought.
Sure. Well, let me just say, if that is happening to anybody, it doesn't necessarily mean like deal with your stuff and then go be a parent. Because sometimes if you just say mom's stressed out, and you know, sometimes you get stressed out, but it's not you. And it's just the acknowledgement of the feeling sometimes too, so that they don't take it on for you, because your kids love you. They're going to want it. And I did this as a child. So I could tell that my parents couldn't handle certain things. And I somehow could. I was just born with these skills and abilities. So I unconsciously took on some of their stuff when I was a kid. And so now I obviously that drove me to want to understand this. And other sensitive people, I help other sensitive people who tend to be also quite intelligent and haven't quite figured out how to use all of this stuff. It's like kind of like superpowers, but not to make us special or anything. But there's more consequences to it than you think. But anyways, coming back to being an empath, I wanted to understand how to make life make sense. I didn't think it made sense. You know, as I said, an adult would say something, but I could feel that they meant something else. So authenticity to me was very important because I could feel it.
Yeah. So you're saying, back to where you're talking about parents and children. So you're saying we as parents, instead of trying to shove our stress in a corner somewhere and try to be upbeat, positive around our children so they won't feel it, we need to just tell them, say, look, mama's stressed today. It's not you. It's not anything you did or whatever, you know, the truth is. But just tell them, just to tell them we're stressed, because we really can't hide that from them.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. That's very interesting, because I didn't do that. I really didn't do that.
Right? Your best. And this is what I'm saying. This is why this education is, this is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
So I ended up starting to do things like Reiki. I had a car accident when I was 15, and I had a lot of soft tissue injuries and they weren't healing. And then I had a sleep disorder. So I had my own pain to try to heal. And so I discovered things like Reiki. At the time I was only 16, and the doctors are like, well, you're just going to be this way. So, you know, let's figure out how to deal with it. And I just thought, no, like, that's why can't I heal? And a lot of people have that story. Something happens and they need to seek something other than what was available. And so they seek it, you know, and it's
right. That's what's happened with us. And it led me down several paths I never knew I would be. I never knew existed, much less be traveling down them.
Right.
But it's been very, very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that is the path of the soul. That is so for people listening, I mean, there's our mind and there's our body and there's our heart and there's our soul, our spirit. And understanding these aspects of ourselves enhances our life experience.
Right.
Not just a mind like bumbling around through this life. We have these other aspects of our intelligence systems. So the path of the soul, the path of connecting to our spirit, tends to be a bumpy road in order for us to pay attention and do things we might not have done.
I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that. But I will say this, it really opens up your mind to a whole new world, and it's so much more interesting when you go down these soul paths. It makes life a lot more interesting, and I've learned things that I never even knew existed, and I'm still learning.
Me too.
But it makes life so much more interesting.
It does. It opens us up. I think it cracks us open and says, okay, let's open you up and have you connect to who you really are, which I call our essence, is just the true core of our being. And I think we all know who that is, and we're insecure that it even exists. So we, you know, do all these things in life, defenses or striving for things to convince the world of our worthiness. And that leaks a lot of energy. So speaking about adrenal fatigue, we leak so much energy trying to convince the world that we've got it together. And that, if you just kind of bring yourself back together and go, wait a second, no, I'm good. And now I'm going to be the best CEO I can or be the best mom I can. You're going to save so much energy just
right.
Even that.
Yeah. And the best spot in life to be is when you are just being who you truly are and you don't worry about what other people think.
Mm-hmm. And that's not easy. I mean, it's like,
it's not easy.
But not easy. I help people to do that, because to navigate everything that's ever made you successful and then decide to go kind of say, okay, well, that doesn't matter. You're worthy. It's really difficult for people to.
Yeah. That's one of the more difficult things that we can do in life to help ourselves.
Yes, exactly. So I eventually studied many, many different modalities, got my spiritual psychotherapy degree. I have a music degree actually from York University in Toronto, Canada, in vocal performance. But I didn't like the music business at the time. So again, the soul path is a little like convoluted. It can seem a little crazy, but it brought me to exactly where I am now, and I couldn't be happier. after training in psychotherapy, I was just, again, this doesn't make sense. Clients would come back with the same problems. They would get better and then it would be the same. They would get better and then it would be the same. And I also did work in massage and body work, and it's the same thing. The shoulder would get better and then it would, so I was like, how do we actually heal? How do we actually transform into not having to manage problems? That was my curiosity and my passion for myself too. And eventually I came across something called ontological coaching.
Yeah, and explain that.
Yes. So it's actually the study of being. It's how human beings relate to our reality. So it's actually the philosophy and science of being, of our core being. And so it was so fascinating to me. So basically the premise is that how you relate to your life will create your life. So if you think I have to work hard to make money, let's say for an instance, then if you had an amazing idea and it only required you to work 20 hours a week, and it's an online business, let's say you have this amazing idea and it's all laid out for you, you would have a problem with that. You would get antsy, like that belief system of you need to work hard to make money. If you don't actually rearrange that to align with your new reality, hope I'm not going too deep for people, then you'll sabotage it. And so a lot of people find this as they think they want to do something, but their relationship to that thing needs some shifting.
Right. So it's basically our belief systems need to fit into our life with what we're doing. And sometimes that doesn't fit. And then what we're trying to do doesn't work. For instance, if it only took 20 hours a week to make a lot of money, that did not fit in that belief system that person had, that I have to work hard and long hours to make a lot of money. So what you're saying is you help them change the belief system to where it doesn't take a lot of work or a lot of time to make a lot of money. And then when your belief system shifts to that point, you know, that belief system, then it works, because then it coincides with one another, it syncs up, and then it becomes visible in your life and becomes a practical part of your life.
Exactly. And what I call it, it's joining in with life to participate with everything that's already working. So if there's a flow of abundance coming to you and you're blocking it by saying, no, I have to work hard, you know, you're actually rejecting the flow of life. Like if life is trying to make it easy for you, you're going, no, no, no. So it helps you to align with the intelligence of life too, just to add that, because we get messages, we get inspiration. You know, when I talk about from adrenaline to inspiration, when we're present and we're taking care of ourselves and we're maybe doing some meditation and we're taking care of our physical body, we can tune in to, you know, turn left. Maybe there's a bunch of traffic. You can tune in to our intelligence systems, you know, but when you're running around frantically, you don't hear them.
Right. So, and also this, so you're saying too that basically our belief systems can be our worst enemy.
Sometimes.
It depends on what they are.
It depends on what they are. And sometimes, like, so for instance, when I work with people, how they speak or how they do certain things will actually reveal their what's in the way of them achieving what they say they want to achieve.
Yeah. And so you're saying too that we may have a belief system that we have to stay busy, 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 busy. And by being too busy, we can't tap into our true selves, where the inspiration comes from.
Mm-hmm. Or that stuff's weird. You know, there's years and years and years of stuff around, like if you think about the societal limiting beliefs, like, oh, don't cry. You know, how many people say don't cry? Like, they don't even know why they say don't cry. Like, why not cry?
No, especially for men. That's a big one for men, especially.
Yeah. And it's like, well, it's just your body's release system. Like, it's, if we didn't take things so seriously and so significantly, we could just, like, be in harmony with ourselves, you know, like that's kind of the thing. And not just all the way to the end of, a lot of people reject normal society. And then they're like, well, I'm just going to kind of be a hippie and I'm just not going to go into that world. And it doesn't mean you have to do that. It means you can be both. You know, I find a lot of people that are overly spiritual or overly, I'm going to do things my way. too much that they then don't have the cash flow and they don't have their ducks in a row. And then there's people that have all their ducks in a row and everything perfect and all the boxes ticked off, but they are like unhappy and unfulfilled. And they feel like no matter how fast they run, the treadmill goes faster, you know? So this is the stuff that I find with people. And it all comes down to connecting with yourself, because we are all connected to intelligence. Like, we are like these living, breathing, like, it's amazing, right? We're breathing right now. I have no idea how I'm talking to you right now on this internet. And then it's record, like, there's so many amazing things that are pure intelligence operating all the time that we forget about. And when we forget about that, we feel alone and we feel scared and we feel like that's when we have that survival instinct. So adrenaline is a survival hormone, right? Like, so that process of adrenaline firing to either, you know, run away or all these things, we don't need to run away. Like, we think that we're going to die or something, the adrenaline response, but we're not going to. So all of this kind of misunderstanding is really what it comes down to about, like, okay, you know, that deadline, just breathe more so that you send the message to your body, again, that body intelligence system, hey, this is a deadline. We got to do some work here, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. So what are some of the things people can do to get in touch with their true self so that they can then learn how to start living from inspiration instead of adrenaline?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So my top three suggestions are meditation. And when I say meditation, I don't mean no thoughts. I just mean what I said before, just, okay, I'm going to just connect to my breath right now. And then you bring your outside senses inward. So in yoga, that's a concept where you bring your outside senses inward, which just means, you know, closing your eyes, bringing your attention inside to your breath will do it for you. Just sitting and breathing for 1 to 3 minutes. Like, I'm just talking little bits. I put in the article meditation injections. So if it's when you're going to the bathroom, because we are so busy, and it is what it is. So until that changes, we have to actually work with what we have. The idea of meditating for an hour, doing yoga for an hour, and then, you know, going picking your organic food from your garden, like, that's not a reality for a lot of people. So meditation's one. The second one is some form of journaling. Now, I don't mean a dear diary kind of thing. I just mean like putting your pen to paper, ideally pen to paper instead of typing, because it actually just moves more muscles. So you actually connect more, slow down more. It takes the contents of your mind down through your body, which connects you to your heart, which connects you to your body, forces you to slow down, which is why most people don't do it, because they can't write fast enough.
Yeah. And it also helps you to remember it too when you physically write it.
Yeah. And you know what? Half of it you don't have to remember. Like, you'll remember what you need to remember the more presence that you have. That's just a side tip. Like, if you actually manage your mind more and process your feelings more, you'll access your memory better. You'll have that ability. It'll be like a cleaner pipeline.
Right, because you have fewer programs running. When you process feelings, you get them out of the way. It's like you close more tabs on your computer, so your computer can run better. And so if our brain, our mind is working better because we don't have as many tabs running at the same time, because we are processing our feelings, then we can remember. And that may be why a lot of us have trouble with our memory, because there's too many programs running.
It's nutso. We were just talking about notifications, Beverly and I, before we got on this call. And I have my notifications almost all turned off. I have my text message and my phones. And I just look at my email, you know, but the ding and the ding and the ding and the ding. I mean, it's just crazy making.
Yeah, it can make you crazy sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's just, but that stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. So journaling, and I call it a brain dump. So what I try to do with people when I'm teaching them this stuff, whether it's in groups or one-on-one, it's just like, okay, you know what? Let's make this work for you. Okay. And stop trying to like seek something outside of yourself and make it hard. It's like, how can you just like wake up in the morning and just write down and just bleh, just like write whatever is it, like, I don't want to write this. And I think this is stupid. And that Jenna Check, I don't even know why I should trust her. Like, write whatever in your mind, because it just starts the process of clearing.
Right. So in other words, when we put it on paper, it gets it out of our mind.
Yeah.
Clears it.
Yeah, we don't even have to remember. And then what we do need to remember, we will.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So can you share with us the method that you use in the Three Steps to Self-Mastery program? And this is one of your programs that you offer people.
Yes, this is my one-on-one coaching transformation process. And so when I work with people one-on-one, I take them from literally from adrenaline to inspiration. It's like it's rewiring everything and connect everything. So what I've noticed is I didn't know why what I was doing was working so well. I just didn't. I was like, oh, people are getting really great results. This is fantastic. So I started to pay attention and I noticed that people go through three specific steps, not necessarily in order, but they always go through them. And the first one is healing. So healing is completing the past. Everything I said, it's learning how to connect to your body. It's learning how to connect. When I say connect to your heart, I mean that space from the front of your chest to the back shoulder blades. That's actually an electromagnetic field. There's so much I could say about that, but it's really cool. And if you just connect with it and feel it and put your hand there and breathe into it, you're gonna activate it. And if you do stuff that you love, you're gonna activate it. So that's all you do. That's all you need to know. So healing basically plugs the leaks. So you've got all this leaking energy if you have gaping wounds emotionally and mentally from your past. So everybody's life will tell them what they need to heal. We don't have to go excavating and spending all of our time healing. So too many people get too caught up in healing. So healing's one phase. Get real is phase two. This is discovering who you really are, everything in life that has made you who you are, and everything that isn't you. So maybe you became a doctor because your dad said become a doctor, but you're actually there's another dream in you that wants to come out that will actually be more successful. And that happens a lot. So the get real is like, who are you really? Again, creates more energy. So all that wasted energy trying to get by with something that isn't really for you, again, you're accessing more energy. So in the heal phase, you're gathering more energy. In the get real phase, you're figuring out who you really are, what you want to do, how you want to do it, what lights you up again, because so many people lose their spirit. And that's what you do in the get real phase. And then the last one is now what? So a lot of people I noticed when I worked with them, they would heal and they would get real. They're like, okay, I know who I am. And it's also an awkward phase. I kind of call it the Bambi legs, or it's like a snail out of its shell phase, because everything you've known is going to be different. If that's a better discomfort than having life throw stuff at you and having you react to it, honestly. So choosing your discomfort and stepping towards your truth and stepping towards what feels good, what's drawing you to it as it's drawing you to itself of life, is a better discomfort. So at now what? It's like, what do you want to do? You know, and it doesn't have to be change your career, change your partner. And people get too literal about this whole thing. It could just be, I just want to take a walk in the morning at 6 a.m. You know, so the now what could be a book in them. It could be, I want to take painting class. It could be, I want to take dance class. It could be, I want to go to Italy. The now what is when life really starts to ramp up and all that excess energy that you have because you're full starts to be able to live. Like you can actually live your life.
Right. So it sounds like you also, during this process, you kindly help people kind of find their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of what you do also?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone has a purpose.
Everyone does. And I find that when we're living our purpose, that's where true happiness is.
Yeah. Because you're aligned. You're aligned. It's like flowing down the stream. It's like, doesn't mean it's going to be easy all the time because there's rocks in the stream and there's storms, just like nature. But you're living in alignment with who you are.
Right. And you're happier going through those storms.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's a storm. Okay. Hang on. And then you know it's going to end too. So as you kind of grow yourself up, so in the heal phase, you kind of grow yourself up too. If you have some wounds, I had a lot of childhood wounds. So I would react to stress like an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old. And that's regression. And that's where we leak energy. And as a shaman, so a shaman is someone who can connect to nature and different aspects of energy to make practical change in this real world. So you can pull the energy back and you could take those gifts that might have been trapped in that wound and bring it back into your life. And so all of this energy is now there for you to live your life. That's why it feels good. Life isn't meant to be drudgery all the time.
Right. So tell us about some of your typical clients. I mean, what kind of transformations do you see in your clients once you work with them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing, the general thing is I work with a lot of entrepreneurs or people who become entrepreneurs after working with me because they're like, I'm going to do this. What happens is they kind of gain the confidence. So they gain a lot of confidence and trust in themselves and life. And from that, you know, their relationships improve, their, you know, sense of health also improves because their self-love increases. But some of the more interesting cases have been in mental health where people have, I worked with a fellow with, is a young kid with bipolar, and the mother had hired me for him and nothing worked. And in the mental health industry, sometimes things just don't work. So learning how to process your feelings and learning how to access actually your spirit, like connecting to spirit with mental health, has proven to be very successful. I mean, I can't say that's in everything, but he was totally fine. Like, this guy was suicidal and nothing was going for him in his life, nothing. And to the end of a year when we worked together, he finished his high school, he had a job, he had a new apartment, he got a dog, he came back, basically. Like, he was missing and he came back. Like, his spirit was completely gone. Like, I mean, stuff like that is just amazing to witness. It's such a blessing. To mild anxiety. So another person had anxiety attacks, but what was actually happening was she wasn't in the right job for her uniqueness. She was an empath too. And she was in an office where there was people 360 around her, and it was causing anxiety. And instead of going, wow, this doesn't work for me, it was, I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because there's a lot of different things that can cause anxiety and anxiety attacks and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. I had never thought about that, but that's very interesting.
It's an indicator. And learning how to read the indicators is invaluable. Like, what is this anxiety teaching me is a good question to ask yourself sometimes.
Yeah, and you work with people so that they learn how to ask themselves questions to really... Yes. Figure out what's going on with themselves. So you kind of teach people how to be independent and learn how to work with themselves so they can learn these techniques so that they can figure out where the problems are coming from. Is that correct?
Yeah, and go off and live their life. I mean, my goal is, I was a personal trainer for a while there, and my goal was always to get them to know how to do a squat so that they will always know how to do a squat, and to know how to do a push-up so they'll always know how to do a push-up. And then if they want to use me as a tool, I'm there. So empowering people to me is so, so key, because the intelligence is in you. I just guide people, the things that I've learned, to access who they really are, to tune into these skill sets that are completely trainable.
Yeah. And you offer, of course, coaching sessions. How long is the typical time period that someone would need to see you? And I know it would differ with people, but
you
probably have an average.
I do have an average. So so people that just need a quick fix, that are like, oh my gosh, my life is all over, to kind of get them back on track, I find it takes 6 weeks to 3 months, because you just kind of got to manage the first part, get to learn the tools, and then gain some mastery in the tools. And if it's just something present in their life, they should be fine after that. If they're doing a full 180, if they have like a lot of wounds and they've tried everything and it hasn't worked, takes about a year, I'll just be honest. Like, you'll get a significant amount of results in 6 months, but that next 6 months of like actually making it stick can be almost the hardest part for some people to do alone. And I found that for myself. I really needed someone else to take me the full way as a guide. And I had a bunch of different people as my guides, you know, so I walk my talk. But to see a full 180, like, I am now connected to myself, I can feel my feelings, I know the answers, I can connect to my intelligence, I can have better conversations with other people and speak my truth and set my boundaries, like, that tends to take, you know, kind of like 9 months, like a rebirth, if you will.
Yeah. So in other words, to really make significant changes, it does take time. But you find your clients that especially go through the several months, it's really life transforming.
Yes.
Is it not?
It is absolutely life transforming. And I'm not just making that up. Like, I mean, this is what people say.
Yeah. Give us one example of a testimonial of a major life transformation through going through one of your programs.
Okay. I was just even seeing if I had a testimony here. I have a few on my website, jennasmithcoaching.com. But what would I say if, okay. One lady, she had two kids and she's in her 50s and, you know, she'd done a lot of self-development. She's a smart cookie, you know, she's a great mom. But she just never felt good enough. And she battled with weight. And actually, that was one of the reasons she had come to me, was some emotional eating stuff. But, you know, she just wasn't accessing loving her life and was concerned with it. She's like, why? Like, I've done so much work. And she says to me, you know, my life's not perfect. Like, that's not what changed, is that I can feel peace that I never knew was there.
Wow. After doing the work,
you know, it's partly me, but partly accessing these things that just work, you know, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's pretty big, because a lot of people don't experience peace, and
mm-hmm.
that has huge implications in all areas of life.
To just be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
and I've been through some stuff. Like, I mean, I've been through some stuff. Like, my dad committed suicide. I've been through an F3 tornado. My brother has mental illness. And to be good within the storm of life isn't something people always consider.
No, and that's big. That's a big deal. Okay, well, how do people contact you if they want to pursue this more?
Sure. Well, my website has a contact page, Jenna Smith Coaching, JennaSmith, JennaSmithCoaching.com, has a contact me. So you can book right in and have a chat with me. You can either put in a question, so you can directly contact me through my website.
Okay. And I hear you, and we will put this information on the site also below the podcast. I hear you have a book coming out. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it just made sense to me to get this information out, of course. And the first book I was going to write was called You Are the Manual, Life is the Teacher, which is kind of my teaching, like, you are the manual, your mind, body, heart, and spirit. But then another book came through me, and it's called It's All Just a Big Misunderstanding, How to Make Life Make Sense and End Your Suffering. And that's just a more accessible conversation about some of the things we talked about today, Beverly, like the idea that other people have it together and you don't is a misunderstanding. Because most people, I'll tell you, I have worked with some very successful people and they don't feel good enough. So it's a big misunderstanding that someone's got it together and you don't.
In other words, most of us don't have it together.
No,
that's true. I would say that's probably true.
and they're hilarious. Like, it's so fun working with people and just having these really, like, significant, serious conversations suddenly have some levity to them, because it's like, wow, it's just a big misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, being attached to your point of view. You know, like, that's a big misunderstanding, because the more open you are while holding your boundaries and knowing who you are, you can enjoy all sorts of people.
Yeah, it just brings a whole different color to life when you do that. So when is your book coming out? Do you have a date yet?
I have, my book proposal is due November of this year, so it should be out in 2017.
Okay.
It takes a while to do these things, right?
So yeah, it does. It does take a while.
So what people can look for is, I will be adding to my blogs. If you sign up and get my free gift on my website, it's a well-being checklist. You can use that, and there's actually, you'll get more information of how to change to inspiration from adrenaline in that well-being checklist. So that's a free gift from me to you. That'll also put you on my mailing list, and I'll be sending out a lot more blogs and articles as I'm writing the book. And then the book, obviously, I'll have the launch date in the emails as well. So okay. when that and, comes out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they can go to your website and sign up for that. That's on your homepage, isn't it?
That's on my homepage. Yeah. At jennasmithcoaching.com, you'll see it right there, and then you'll get a free gift. And it and honestly, use it. It's called the Wellbeing Checklist, and you write down the things that you know work for you that are going to keep you in check, and you just check it off. It's so simple, but I'll tell you, like those little consistent things make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it's usually the little things that do make the biggest difference.
Little consistent things. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jenna. It's just been a pleasure having you on the show. And I wish you really a lot of success with your book. And let me know when it comes out. Maybe I can have you back and we can talk about it.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, good. Well, and thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler with the America Out Loud Network. You've been listening to The Misdiagnosed Life. Remember to subscribe to the show on iTunes and rate and review it. We'd love to hear from you. And take care until next time.